Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
What is going on with this bump? Okay, I was right to wait for a drop. Or for a beat drop. How do you choose your bumps?
Very at random.
I don't have an exact science to it.
No, very much depends on the day. Some days I like a little more like classic rock. Other days, Brayton, a lot of his stuff in here is techno. Can't stand it, but I play a lot of that because sometimes.
Not a techno guy either. Being a rap and country guy is not really, which is also, by the way, I very well understand, a very odd combination.
It's a terrible bump decision.
Horrible. Right. You're almost nothing to work with between the two. I feel like I just want to get to a lot of stuff today. Joe DiBiase, Zach Jones, it's kind of a mishmash cocktail of different things. Basketball. Hockey.
I'm excited, yeah.
Football.
Did you watch any basketball last night?
I made it through most of Golden State and Dallas, but it was not worth it by the time Calgary and Edmonton was on because Golden State ran away with it in the fourth quarter. Tonight, Eastern Conference Finals, Celtics and Heat. I'm very much into the NBA Finals right now. We'll talk about hockey. I've got Thursday tiers today with no Sal Capaccio in. He's on vacation today and tomorrow. Joe DiBiase here in the Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the phone number. Where really are the Sabres in the hierarchy of the Eastern Conference for next season? How optimistic can we reasonably be? How upset can we reasonably be if they miss the playoffs for, what will it be next year, a 12th year in a row? I mean, it is reaching Bills territory for a drought. And there are teams in the East right now that kind of remind me of the Sabres, and there are teams in the West that remind me of them a little bit, and it's a different breed, it's a different version of hockey. So, lots of playoff talk coming up. I've got Mike DiStefano from Leafs Lunch on TSN Radio, and also the Locked On Leafs podcast. He is going to jump on with us at about 10:30 to really go through what changes will be made, should be made with the Leafs. This offseason, it sounds like the GM and the coach, at a minimum, are going to be back. Kyle Dubas and Sheldon Keefe reportedly are safe. But you never know. We once thought Jason Botterill was safe. He got a vote of confidence that he was going to be the Sabres general manager, and he was fired 2 weeks later. And that's a team with a historically unique six-year stretch. Opening round losses, one after the other, after the other, after the other. So Mike's going to join us to talk about that coming up at 10:30. And I got a Coyotes rant that is brewing that I'm going to get to at any second. There is an Arizona. It's weird. I'm in Buffalo on May 19th, and the Coyotes haven't played in 20 days, and they are thousands of miles away, but I am telling you, there is a rant somewhere in me about that professional sports franchise loose terms on the professional at this point in time.
We can definitely drag the rant out of you. Oh. If not today, absolutely tomorrow.
Before we do that, though, Zach, you've seen my hijinks on Twitter. Am I too hard on the Eli Manning Hall of Fame thing?
No.
And if you don't know what I mean by that, if you don't follow me on Twitter, at Sneaky Joe Sports, by the way, if you want to and you don't, there's no sports take I feel stronger about in the world than Eli Manning was not a great quarterback. And if I in the current context of what the Hall of Fame is, he'll get in. But I'm just saying, if I were the czar of the Hall of Fame and it abided by the guidelines that I would set out for it, he would not be in my Hall of Fame. He was never a great quarterback to me, and I feel like once a week I'm fighting with people on it. No one, you know, anyone from New York catches it, and it's just like, all right, go time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If New York City catches that, they're going to square up with you. And that's fine. I understand defending your best quarterback ever because your franchise has not had great quarterbacks. I get it. I'm all for
it. But, like, I'm ready to go on a moment's notice on any of that.
You just got to bring up Jim Plunkett, man. Just bring him up and be like, he won two Super Bowls for the Raiders and did nothing else. That's basically Eli Manning.
That's a good one. My go-to is no longer, is kind of gone. Because my go-to used to be, if you're telling me Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer just because he won two Super Bowls, then I guess what you're telling me is Joe Flacco is a Super Bowl away from being in the Hall of Fame. And don't you dare tell me, don't you dare try to put Joe Flacco
in the Hall of Fame. There are fans that would then defend that. There are fans out there that would be like, well, absolutely, of course. That being said, his 2011 playoff run, that was, you know, that was exciting.
It does make me think about, though, how polarizing a lot of different players can be and the argument on how good they actually are. Manning, that's always the guy for me for this. He's like the perfect, perfect athlete for having just a good old-fashioned bar sports debate. You're out with your buddies at a sports bar, and he comes up on a commercial, and you start bantering back and forth. He is perfect for it because he won. And not only did he win, he won twice with clutch throws. Oh, and he did it against Brady and the Patriots.
Yeah, but I mean, Nick Foles beat him in a Super Bowl.
That's right. Zach, you're on my side. I have all of these ready to go in the arsenal at any moment. Nick Foles beat him. Joe Flacco won one Super Bowl away. The touchdown to interception ratio. The fact that it's hysterical that Eli Manning was exactly 500 for his career. Exactly. I think 117 and 117. Something like that. You look at the list of all-time interception leaders. It's all guys from the 60s, 70s, and 80s and Eli.
I don't think you're really ever going to find a quarterback, at least for another 25, maybe even 30 years, that is defended so much by their fan base, but like the rest of the league looks at him and goes,
well, eh. Right, he's a god. He's a god in that town. I think it's kind of interesting to look at where Josh Allen has arrived when I'm thinking about this. Guys that we always talk about, we always debate. Maybe Eli, this isn't as much the case. I kind of make it happen because I'm very, I feel very strongly about one side of that. But is there really a lot of debates about how great Eli Manning was? Maybe there used to be, but there aren't now. But I don't know, Kirk Cousins. Doesn't it just feel like we've been debating whether or not he's good for 12 years? And do we still have an answer?
No.
Do we know if Kirk Cousins is good? Does anybody know?
No, Kirk Cousins has no idea.
Cousins doesn't know. Cousins' mom doesn't know if he's actually good at football. Nobody knows if Kirk Cousins is good. He's thrown like 10,000 passes, and we have no idea. Is Derek Carr good? Actually, the new guy for this is Matthew Stafford.
Is Matthew Stafford a Hall of Famer?
Right, Hall of Famer? Is Matthew Stafford good? That was a topic that came up yesterday with Shopin' the Bulldog, what are the Rams? They won the Super Bowl. And the Bengals are more commonly seen as the team that kind of had a fluky run. That it wasn't really real. That they got a little lucky to make the Super Bowl. And that's represented in the betting lines. The Bengals are the third choice. Actually, they might be second now. They were the third choice in the betting lines to win the AFC North. I think they are now second. I think they've just eclipsed Baltimore. But Cleveland is favored over them, and Baltimore's almost got the same odds. The Bengals are just in the Super Bowl. The Rams, it's not quite the same. The Rams, I think, are understood as they're a great team, and they got a quarterback upgrade, and that fueled them to winning a Super Bowl. But is there still a debate about how good Matthew Stafford is? I think there is. I think he's a guy that when I turn on ESPN in the middle of May, maybe better so like June or July, because right now you turn on ESPN, and especially now they have the hockey rights, by the way, it's the NBA playoffs and it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like that is what they're talking about. They'll show baseball highlights here and there, but it's hockey and it's more so basketball. It's Luka. It's Steph Curry. It's Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler. Like they are talking basketball right now. But there will come a point in the summer, and there was a point after the Super Bowl, a couple of different segments of the year, the calendar year, where you will turn on these networks, and what you'll see is forced content. Because there just isn't anything natural. There's no games that night. There's no games the night before in the NFL. There's maybe you're a couple of months before or a couple of months after the draft. So that's not a part of this. And what do? You take quarterbacks and you get different viewpoints and you have a debate, you have a discussion on how great that player is, how good that player is, whether it's in the context of the Hall of Fame, whether it's in the context of comparing him historically or comparing him to his current peers. And there are a lot of guys like that. Matthew Stafford, as I mentioned, is definitely one. Is he a Hall of Famer after winning a Super Bowl? With all the yardage he puts up, he's top 10 in like every category all time already. Cousins, I just mentioned. 12 years in, we don't know how good Kirk Cousins is. Derek Carr is another one for this. The young guys are for this, right? Tua and Mac Jones. Is there more there?
Dak, I think, is going to be the next generation of like the, were they ever actually good? Was it a stat patter?
Dak is good for this.
Dak is, I think, going to be in the next 5 or 6 years the guy you look to for that argument.
It is amazing to me, and this isn't saying much, but it's amazing to me that not only have the Bills found a quarterback that can be a long-term starter, can make the playoffs, can earn a second contract, they have one of the few guys now and one of the few guys historically where, and this is only for this point in time, we'll see if his career arc changes in any way. If he could turn into Peyton Manning, it could happen where he's one of the best quarterbacks every single year, but if you don't attach the winning with it, then suddenly he'll be labeled a choker. He'll be labeled a guy that can't win the big one. Allen's too young to earn that right now. And for how good Allen's been in clutch moments, in the playoffs, primetime games, he right now is the best touchdown to interception ratio in playoff history by like quadruple anybody else. Smaller sample size, I know. But Allen, he is on a trajectory right now that is just so incredibly rare in the NFL where it's just, oh, everybody knows he's great. Everybody knows he's great. Everybody knows he's elite. That he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. And how many guys have really earned that over time? I mean, we just exited an era where maybe there was a few. Brady was that. Peyton Manning got there. For some people, it took him winning a Super Bowl. But he did get there. Brees got there. Rodgers got there. Roethlisberger got there.
I think that'd be about it for that era.
That's it. For me, Phillip Rivers is easily in that category. But he's not for everybody.
Yeah, he's not for me. I would put him in the second tier.
You have to make an argument that Phillip Rivers is deserving to be in that tier, in that stratosphere. And there are a lot of people that won't put him in it. Eli Manning, there are even more that will not put him in it. How about before that even? Montana is like definitively all-time great. No one would ever dispute it. How many others? Does Kelly have his doubters, at least in terms of legacy? He's not, again, someone we're talking about in debate shows. But can't win the big one, I'm sure has to stick.
Oh,
doesn't
that's always going to stick.
Marino probably more so. Well, Marino, yeah. That's going to stick. Maybe Steve Young has an odd reputation because he has a different career arc than most guys. But I don't know. I feel like I can count on two hands the quarterbacks ever where it's just everyone knows they're great and you look like an idiot if you even try to tell me that they're not. And are we getting to a point? I know it's only been 2 years of this level of play, but are we already getting to a point where Josh Allen is going to be in that category? Because to me, even Jim Kelly, for his reputation and his legacy as a quarterback, I don't think he achieved that. I don't think, if I'm telling you Marino didn't achieve that, if I'm telling you Philip Rivers didn't achieve that, I don't think I could tell you that the Jim did. Allen, I think, is getting there. He's got to win it. And that's the thing. He's got to win it. And we care more about that for just getting Buffalo a major sports championship than we care about it for what it will do to cement Josh Allen's legacy. That comes secondary. We want that. We want Allen to be one of the best of all time, but that comes secondary to the team's success. But it is interesting to explore that because he is, I think, right now on a trajectory to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history if he continues along this path. He is Ross Tucker, who was on Shopin the Bulldog on Tuesday. He has repeatedly over the years called Allen the greatest athlete that has ever played that position. The greatest athlete to ever play that position. I might be overstating it. I don't really think I am. We've gone from wanting a guy that can get us to the playoffs when we were in the drought to a guy wanting a franchise quarterback, a guy we could get to a second contract, a guy that was above average, to wanting an elite quarterback, to now, I think you can realistically expect the Bills have landed themselves an all-time great talent and an all-time great finished product. And the Eli stuff made me think of that because Eli is, for me, the poster child for back and forth on how good he was. There's none of that with Allen right now. None of it. He is, so Nick Wright, he's no longer this, but is Nick Wright the guy you think of first for like Josh Allen hater?
Yeah, it'd probably be Nick, yeah.
I mean, there were guys that did not love Allen and even hated Allen as a prospect. There were a lot that did. But over time, they came around. Of course they did. How couldn't you? Nick Wright was like a holdout. Nick Wright, who I'll give him from Fox Sports, I'll give him a bit of a pass as to why he was that way. He's a Chiefs fan. Comes from Kansas City, Chiefs fan. He's admitted it. He has admitted bias. Even the guy with admitted bias that his whole formula, which I respect because in that job, this has to be your formula. When you are a TV sports talking head, a talking sports gas bag, like Nick Wright is. What's your formula got to be successful? You need to find the fan bases. You need to find the markets around the country. You need to figure out how to poke them. And that will get you eyeballs. That will get you clicks. And that's how you'll be able to stay employed and be able to feed your family by being in sports media. That's how you do it. That's the formula. He did that with Josh Allen. It was the key. Would any person in Buffalo, any Bills fan, know what First Things First is on Fox Sports 1? Doesn't that show air at like 6 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, it goes on when I'm here. Yeah,
it's super early. How does he get you there? How does he get you to his Twitter feed? How does he get you to his podcast? How does he get you there? By being the Josh Allen hater. Even he, after the divisional round, announced no more slander for me on Josh Allen. He announced as someone that was rooting for the Chiefs, he was terrified of Josh Allen.
Didn't he openly say, like, the last thing he wanted was for Josh Allen to have the ball?
Yes. Even that is the guy that has admitted bias, has every reason financially and professionally to continue to hate on Josh Allen. So I guess what I'm saying is, it's not all genuine. Even that Josh Allen hate. Even that Josh Allen hate can't exist. That's how good he's become. You can't even force it anymore. And that's a step beyond finding your franchise quarterback. This is something historical the Bills have landed on.
I think for a long time, too, because we grew up in the era where we didn't have quarterback play. It was, you're going to try to get a running back, good defense, and sneak your way into the playoffs. I would have taken, for a long time, Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco.
Sure.
High-end Dak Prescott.
I was good with Tyrod.
Yeah. I never, in my wildest dreams, thought, you know, an MVP caliber quarterback for 10, 15 years, you know, that's what I want.
Right. Not even MVP caliber quarterback when you get like a Matt Ryan, who's really good for 15 years, and he has that one year where he's an MVP level guy.
Yeah, the pop year.
Not even, right, the pop year. Not even that. I mean, it is historical when you're talking about a talent that can do that year to year to year to year to year. Because it doesn't happen a lot. Cam Newton, another one. 10-year career, the one pop year and everything else, yeah, pretty good.
And I would have taken Cam Newton immediately.
I think, wouldn't we all have taken Cam Newton
when he came out, I was like, that's the guy, right? That's the one that if we got him, that would be our franchise guy. And ultimately, like you said, like he only had the one pop year, 2015, that's it.
Yep. We're going to take a timeout here on the Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll take some calls a little bit later in the show. Mike DiStefano, who I used to co-host the Locked On NHL podcast with, he is of Locked On Leafs and of Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050 radio up in Canada. What's going to happen in Toronto? What should happen in Toronto after they've lost a sixth consecutive opening round playoff series? He will join me next, and then I've got Thursday tiers on the NHL's Eastern Conference for next season. Where will the Sabres slot in? Stay tuned for that coming up at 11, but we'll get Mike DiStefano's thoughts on the Leafs coming up next here in the Extra Point Show. Joe DiBiase, Zach Jones here on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
For us to all be here and showing our support and just talking to people, that's what I've really tried to do today, is just talk to different people and ask them how they're doing and have a conversation with them and just talk.
Really cool thing that the Bills, the Sabres, and the Bandits all did yesterday. They all go down to Jefferson Avenue, flowers on the memorial, volunteering, helping out. That was Kyle Okposo. He was one of the Sabres that was in attendance. Josh Allen down there, Stephon Diggs. Really cool. Sal's got more on that at WGR550.com. We'll continue to talk hockey here with Mike DiStefano. Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050 up in Toronto, the Locked On Leafs podcast. And me and Mike, we've talked hockey probably a billion times together, I think, Mike.
Yeah, a billion and two, maybe. Maybe a billion and two.
Did you make it through all of the Battle of Alberta last night? Or did you give up on it?
I did. No, I watched right to the bitter end, and I'm glad I did, too. I was going to turn it off at 6-2, and I thought to myself, I might as well keep her going. I'm going to have to talk about it on my radio show tomorrow anyways. And I'm glad I did. You know, it turned out to be a pretty exciting game. They came all the way back to make it 6-6. And then, obviously, Calgary decided to finally wake up and play again. And, it was a high-scoring affair. Definitely not the game that I think we were all expecting to see out of those two clubs. But, it was definitely entertaining.
By the way, you can follow Mike on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck, and we're going to talk plenty of Leafs here, but that game is kind of, I guess, maybe the poster child right now for the scoring being up. I mean, scoring's way up this season, and, like, power plays aren't really up. Like, penalties aren't really up. I guess they are in the playoffs. They weren't in the regular season. Do you have any, like, good explanation that you're thinking about, theory as to why all of a sudden this season goals are way up?
I've read a couple of pieces about this on my show. We had Travis Yost, who writes for TSN.ca, and he brought up a couple of interesting points that he believes could be a factor for it, one of which is the fact that we're seeing a lot of tandem goaltending. So you're not necessarily getting the number one goaltender each and every night. Now, last night, Jacob Markstrom is not a tandem goaltender. He is a number one and absolute stud, and he had himself a bit of an off night. But on the other end of the ice, Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith, like, those guys have been tandem goalies, and they've had their ups and downs and their struggles. So I think that's a big part of it. I think we're just seeing, you know, just an injection of youth and skill really shine through as well in modern-day hockey. I mean, Connor McDavid, it's so hard to stop that guy, right? Like, what that dude does with the puck is, it seems impossible sometimes what that guy can do. And even, like, if you watch the night before, Nikita Kucherov, when he just absolutely twisted the ankles of Aaron Ekblad. And it's crazy the amount of offense that we're seeing in modern hockey today.
Yeah, the skill level is through the roof. Mike DiStefano of TSN Sports, TSN 1050 Radio, Leafs Lunch over there. Locked On Leafs host as well. So, obviously, we brought you on, Mike, to talk a lot about the Leafs. They've been very interesting over the past couple of days here, just as to really, like, what they do, and also just kind of listening, like, secondhand, like, what's the reaction? How would we be treating it if we were in such a unique situation like they are, losing six opening round playoff series in a row? I guess it sounds like the GM and the coach are safe. So I'll start with, what do you think should happen versus what do you think will happen to the Leafs this offseason?
Yeah, that's the big question. That's the big question that's going on here in Toronto right now. Look, there's really two paths that they can take, right? I think they either stay the course and kind of run it back with the same core and nucleus that they have, the same core that, I guess, brought the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Stanley Cup champions, to a Game 7, had an opportunity to win the series in Game 6 in overtime. One bounce goes their way. They're in the second round. So, you know, you could take that positive approach that they were super close, they're right there, and maybe then, you know, next season they get that bounce, that fortunate bounce, and they end up through and finally winning a playoff series. And who knows? what could have happened if they finally got over the hump and could have catapulted them into a long, prosperous series. So I think they had the roster that was built to make a run. I truthfully believe that. I think that they have adequate enough goaltending in Jack Campbell. The defense has really been shaped up well here over the last little bit since they added Labushkin and Giordano. And then up front, obviously, Matthews and Marner, two of the best players in the NHL. So I thought they had a pretty good roster. So running it back is one option. But then the other side, this is six straight first-round exits. Is the belief in that room, can they get over the hump? Like, is there maybe a jolt you need to send into the locker room? And a lot of people kind of look at what Masai Ujiri did with the Raptors because it's so close to home. And, you know, they fired their head coach who was 4 days removed from being named Coach of the Year in the NBA, Dwayne Casey. And then they traded their franchise icon in DeMar DeRozan. And then they went on to win a championship. And that was after, I think there was six or seven maybe extremely successful seasons that they had, but just couldn't get over that hump in the playoffs. And then they finally did once they went and made some adjustments. So a lot of people are looking at it and say, hey, maybe that's what the Maple Leafs need to do and use that type of model that the Raptors used to get over the hump, a little bit of a shakeup in the core. And a lot of people are looking at William Nylander as that guy. So I think that there's two really options that you could take. You either stay the course if you really believe in this group and you just, I guess, hope and pray that you can get that bounce and lift the curse that's been placed upon the Maple Leafs for all these years. Or you can really kind of shake things up a little bit and trade somebody from within that core. You're not going to move Matthews. You're not going to move Marner. Tavares, that contract, plus he's your captain and that's a no move. That's probably out of the question. So it really comes down to, I think, can you make a move for William Nylander and improve your club? You're not going to make a lateral move or make a trade just for the sake of making a trade, but you got to find a way to also improve the club. So I think that's the option that I hope that they go. I'm not so sold that they do that. They seem to have belief in this group, but we'll see what they end up doing.
Is it lock solid to you that Jack Campbell, I mean, he's a free agent, so I guess nothing is 100% lock solid, but would you expect Jack Campbell to be their goaltender again next season?
You know what, if you would have asked me this about, I guess like 5 or 6 months ago, but also maybe even as little as 3 weeks ago, I probably would have told you, yeah, I think there's a good chance that he comes back. After listening to kind of the messaging that's been coming out of a lot of the insiders and a lot of the Leafs brass during the locker cleanouts, it doesn't seem as likely as it seemed as much of a slam dunk earlier. And I'm not too sure exactly why that's the case. It could be because Jack Campbell, who's now, 30 years old, and he finally had a breakout couple of seasons here in Toronto, it's his turn to finally get paid. And that's not going to be the case if he wants to be here in Toronto. They're so up against the cap. They can't really afford to give the guy, a massive contract if that's what he's looking to do, get that final payday before, he ages out and isn't going to be able to do that anymore. So if he really, truthfully, wants to kind of set up his family with some financial success, this is probably his one time to do it. And I'm not so sure that Toronto can make that happen. Therefore, there might be a strong possibility that the Leafs go into next season without Jack Campbell.
Mike DiStefano on the Wester Hotline. Joe DiBiase in the Extra Point Show here on WGR. And then lastly, on the playoffs that are going on right now, we talked a little bit about the Battle of Alberta. Is it Colorado number one for you? I mean, I know they only won by one goal the other night, Mike, but holy cow. I just watch them and think, that's one of the best teams I've ever seen.
Oh, that team's gross. I mean, they put up, 54 shots, like Binnington.
Yeah.
Was unreal in that game. Yeah, I think right now they're the team to beat, right? Those are the guys that are the betting favorites, and they're coming out every night just stomping guys. I mean, if it wasn't for a couple of solid performances out of Nashville from the goaltending side, that would have been an absolute onslaught as well for a lot of those games. Well, Connor Ingram had like that one 48-save performance. I think he had like 4.5 goals saved above expected in that one game alone. So those guys do nothing but generate chances, and they lead to goals a lot of the time. They're so deep. They're so talented. They got a great blue line. I mean, Cale Makar is just unbelievable. They're getting the goaltending now in Darcy Kemper. Hopefully he can stay healthy. But even, Pavel Francouz ain't too shabby if, you have to go back to the backup. But, I mean, Nate McKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, you just name off all these all-stars that this group has. How can they not be the favorites at this point, considering that they're not just you know, saying that they're the best club. They're going out there and they're proving to me on a nightly basis that they're the team to beat and the best club currently remaining in the NHL right now.
I love watching Makar. Makar is...
Oh, my God.
Him, McDavid, and McKinnon, and Matthews, probably my favorite players to watch in the league. I mean, I might have just named the four best players in the league, so really, what am I saying by saying that?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Mike, thanks for joining me, man. We'll have to... One of us has to start a boxing podcast, so we can talk boxing more in depth.
Oh, would love that, buddy.
Canelo that. Losing last week. Oh,
that was a shocker.
That was a shocker. All right, man. Thanks for joining me, man, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, anytime, man. Thank you.
Mike DiStefano on the Western Hotline. Be sure to check out his stuff at Mickey_Canuck, host of Leafs Lunch, which I think you'll probably get here. Not now. We want you listening to this station and this show. But if you are looking for a quick little flavor of Toronto Maple Leafs talk, maybe watch the world burn a little bit, listen to callers go nuts for about a team that's made the playoffs 6 years in a row, Leafs Lunch. You could probably get it. 1050 TSN Radio with Mike up there. I love that we get another year of it, at least. I love that they lost just to get another year. It's not even hate for me. It's not even, oh, I hate the Leafs, so I'm rooting against them. It's hilarious. It's unique. It's historic. Losing in the opening round 6 years in a row. Six! Because then you're able to ask questions like, I get that you're not a bad team. You're a great team. You have elite talent littered everywhere. But, so like, in logic land, you would want to say, you're not going to change anything. You lost by one goal in Game 7 to the two-time Stanley Cup champions. You had a lead in the series. You were Game 6 overtime, a funny bounce away from going to the next round. And then suddenly, there aren't these questions about, are you snake bitten? Do you have that championship DNA? Are you always going to choke it away? They were one stupid bounce away from all that being eradicated.
That's when the stupid decisions, though, or not even stupid decisions, just rash decisions start being made, is when you did
right.
have it.
Well, the interesting thing about their situation that I love is, at what point do you make the rash decision, or do you just never do it? Because, all right, you're not going to do it after 6 years. Will you do it after 7? Will you do it after 8? Will you do it after 9? 10? Like, at some point, I do think you have to say, we've got to make the rash decision. We have to make the inconceivable happen. We need to trade a guy that no one else in the league would ever trade. Because we've lost this many times in a row in the opening round. And right now that number is 6. It's already at a stupid total. And every year you want to say, well, they have to win it next year, right? They have to win it next year. Some people are getting fired. People are getting traded. At some point, I do think you look like idiots if you don't change anything. Even though you're probably making the right decision. You're probably making the right decision to not change anything. But if you're Kyle Dubas, what does the right decision buy you if the result, not once, not twice, not three times, 6 times in a row, comes out the same? You might just be getting completely unlucky 6 times in a row. I think that is, honestly, maybe the likeliest outcome. They've gotten unlucky 4 times, 5 times of the 6. They don't get they got unlucky against Columbus. You lost 5 games.
Columbus
to the Blue
is the
Jackets.
Bad one.
That one was the bad one. I think at some point, the GM, the owner, someone says, I don't care that we're just getting unlucky. We still have to do something. We have to be illogical. We have to. Because we look like idiots. This is embarrassing. I think Nylander is going to be the one this offseason.
Nylander's the one. And to be honest, I don't root for the Maple Leafs, but also I really don't care for their demise. I think it is funny because it's gone on for so long, and yes. I do enjoy when the Sabres play them, but I think I'd also probably be a little irrational if I was in their same spot, because it does feel like we have to do something to maybe even just like break. I don't even want to say a curse, just, you know, the bad juju around it, where you just like, all right, something's now, at least it's a different team out there.
Right. Put yourself in their shoes. Sabres fans out there, put yourself in their shoes. What would you ask for? What would you want? If the Sabres, beginning next season, Tage Thompson continues to be a 35 to 40 goal scorer, Tuck is a 60 to 70 point player, Lukanen shows up and he's really good, and Power and Dahlin are the best defensive pairing, defensive combo in the league, and the Sabres are a perennial playoff team. Consistent, year to year. We found it. We've got our core. And they miss the playoffs. And then they miss the play, or they make the playoffs, but they lose in the first round. And it's, okay, what's next year if that happens? Good step. We took a step. We made the playoffs. We ended the drought. We don't even care. We can get swept in the first round. Doesn't matter. We'll be happy. It's like when the Bills played the Jaguars.
Yeah, no one actually cared about the game.
No, it was the worst playoff game ever. It was 10-3 with like 200 yards of offense. Did anybody complete a pass in that game? There was one-yard touchdown pass to some third-string tight end. Koyak, I think, was his name. I don't even remember. Kovac?
Did Blake Bortles have like 65 yards rushing?
He did. That was that was the only offense the whole game. Was Bortles rushing. Horrible. Do we care? No. They broke the drought. So the Sabres do that next year. We'll be happy. Okay, then they miss it the year after that. And it's, all right, we're starting to question them a little bit, but we're still fine. We're still fine. We might be wondering about the coach a little bit. Wondering about the GM a little bit, but we're not doing anything. They lose 3 years in a row. Now where are we at? Now, they might not do anything, but what are fans going to be calling for? The coach can't get it done. The GM doesn't make the proper deadline moves. In-season adjustments. Year four, they do it. Now what? Now what you're probably talking about after year four is, does this core have a fatal flaw? And I imagine the Leafs got there 3 years ago. At least wondering that. Leafs fans got there 3 years ago.
I was going to say, you would get there probably pretty early of realizing, ooh, that's the issue.
Right.
Like, the Leafs have always known it's defense, and now it's, in a bit, defense and goaltending.
And that's where the difference might be between the Sabres and the Leafs. Because the Leafs, it seems like their problem every year is their blue line. The Sabres, if they get good, their blue line's going to be their strength. So
they'll be able to grind teams to a halt.
Yeah.
It looks like in their prime.
So that part of the hypothetical is different. But after year four, aren't we thinking there's a fatal flaw with the core? That they can't win, they can't get it done. They don't have that championship DNA. They can't finish. They can't finish the job. Now, imagine, after year four, it happens two more times. We'd be screaming from the rooftops. We'd be out at the arena with signs to trade guys, to fire coaches, to fire GMs. Because year after year after year, every year that goes by where you win and you accomplish something, expectations get raised higher and higher and higher and higher. Right now, they've went from bottom of the barrel to the season they just had, they're raised a little bit. Just a bit. Not a lot. They don't need to make the playoffs next year. They have to have a competitive season. A playoff race is what expectation is now. Then it'll become playoffs. Then it will become winning a playoff round. Then it will become competing for a Stanley Cup. That's the steps you take. And imagine being stuck on one of those steps for 6 years. And all of this to say, from me, I don't think they should make changes. If I were the owner. If I were the owner, I'm not making changes. I'm good. I got unlucky. Vasilevsky happened in a game seven. What can I do? One goal loss to the two times defending Stanley Cup champions. I have a 60 goal scorer who's one of the best players in the league. And a good infrastructure around him. If I'm the GM, I'm making a trade. Because if I'm a GM, I can't sit on my hands. I look like an idiot if I sit on my hands. And I'm Kyle Dubas. I might assume I'm getting another job, even if I get fired by the Leafs someday. He's young enough. He's bright enough. He's got enough wins on his resume, even though not playoff wins. But you'd think about that, too. You'd think about that, too. The next job interview you go into with an NHL owner, and they ask you about Toronto, you want to be able to tell him, hey, I tried. I moved Nylander for Jacob Chychrun. I thought we needed the defenseman. You got to show that you tried. I think they're in such a unique and interesting position, and I don't think there's another team like them right now in sports that is like that. Not in football, not in basketball, not in maybe baseball, but I wouldn't know because I'm not into baseball very much. Is there a baseball team like that? I don't think so. Are the Mets like that?
The Mets, I mean, the Yankees over the past few years have kind of... They have the talent, but they just cannot get over the hump. They've kind of been that team.
Yeah. The Yankees, too, like the Leafs are, like, even when you're not a championship contender, that's always your expectation.
Yeah. Dallas, yeah. Even though that one makes no sense.
The Cowboys are good for that, too. Yeah. The Cowboys are very good for that. 803-0550 is the phone number. A little basketball, and we'll update you on the PGA Championship leaderboard. Tiger Woods. It's good news. Good news. The Tiger Roar. Listen, where's the course? Tulsa? I feel like I could hear the roar through the glass here in Buffalo. We'll update you on the PGA, talk a little NBA, and I've got Thursday tiers, 2022-23 NHL Eastern Conference Edition is what we'll get to coming up at 11, and your phone calls to 803-0550 here on The Extra Point Show with Joe DiBiase and Zach Jones on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, some very interesting developments at Southern Hills and the PGA Championship. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Still have not figured out what Oklahoma is. Whether it's the South, the Midwest, the Great Plains, it's kind of nothing.
I'll give my vote to the South. I'll give my vote to the South.
It's
one of those weird ones.
I don't.
But I'll do it.
It's maybe the only one to me where it's definitely not one thing definitively. Texas is Texas.
Texas is its own thing. They're closer to Southern.
Like,
but
Arkansas is the South.
Yes.
Mississippi is the South.
Mississippi is the South.
Tennessee is the South.
Yes.
And then, like, Missouri is the Midwest, right? Missouri is definitely the Midwest.
Yeah, Missouri is the Midwest, yeah.
Kansas
is the Midwest.
Nebraska. Like, yep. That's Great Plains. Oklahoma's like the only one where it's just kind of not its own thing.
Oklahoma and Texas, though, are kind of, they're both that.
But it's Oklahoma, just Oklahoma, but it's not as good as Texas. So that's why it almost.
Exactly.
I don't know. Oklahoma. Anyways, the PGA Championship. Rory McIlroy is the leader. 4 under par through 6 holes.
So he figured out how to play an opening round.
He did. Now he's got a 4 birdies in a row, by the way. He went par, par, birdie, 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 birdie. He's on fire and fuego right now, Rory McIlroy. He is in first place. He's not won a major in 10 years? 8 years. 2014, I think. Max Homa, Will Zalatoris in second at 3-under. Tiger started 2-under, but after a recent bogey on his 6th hole, he is back to 1-under par. At 2-under in third place, two shots back of the lead right now through 10 holes, John Daly.
It's the pants.
What?
It has to be the pants.
John Daly just birdied 10 to get to 2-under. Yeah, he's wearing like Day of the Dead looking pajama pants. White beard, beer gut.
Good sunglass game, too, going
sunglasses,
on.
Sunglasses, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I don't know what he's trying to look like. He's just, I'm just going to do the craziest stuff I can, put it all together, and that's what you get. Like, that's kind of what he went with. He's 2-under through 10. He's not going to last, clearly. But, not a name that I thought I was going to see at the top of the leaderboard. It's a name where you're like, oh, John Daly's playing. He still plays golf. Okay, cool. And then you forget about him because, like, he's the first tee time on Thursday. And it's like, oh, Daly and the guys who won this tournament in the 80s that are playing. Like, they're out there. Rich Beam, who won, I think, in 99, is playing. Like, oh, there's him. And then you forget about him as soon as McIlroy and Tiger and Spieth tee off. Daly, through 10, is 2-under. He has not made a cut in a major since the PGA Championship in 2012. Where he was tied for 18th. So it's been 10 years since he made a cut. And he started the right way. He's a fourth of the way there to making the cut. Even playing with the lead. Holy cow. All right, so that's what's going on at the PGA Championship. Stay tuned. We'll get back to some hockey when we come back. Where do the Sabres rank? Where are they in the hierarchy of the Eastern Conference for next season? How many teams do they really have to climb over? And how many teams are they above already going into next year? I've got Thursday tiers, NHL Eastern Conference edition for next season when we come back. And we'll get to some other stuff along the way. Football, basketball, golf. We'll keep you updated on the PGA Championship on the Extra Point Show with Joe DiBiase and Zach Jones here on WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.